All right, so welcome everybody. Welcome back to our Monday Night Base Medrash. It's never too early, especially now that we've had Shabbos Mevarech and Rosh Chodesh coming up on Thursday. It's not too early to prepare for Hanukkah. And the truth is that our previous series on the halachos of Nero Shabbos, of lighting Shabbos candles, very much dovetails with our next series, which is going to explore some of the some of the very important topics of Hanukkah. So let's get right to it with the connection between these two topics. The Gemara in Shabbos, that Tav Gimel Amid Beis, quotes Rava, who says, Pshitali, ner beso v'ner Hanukkah, ner beso adif, mishum shalom beso. Let's say that you have someone who has the means to purchase only a candle for Nero Shabbos or a candle for Nero's Hanukkah. Which of them should take precedence? Says Rava, Nero Shabbos take priority. Why? Mishum Shalom Beisa. We learned at length over the last three shiurim the idea that part of Nero Shabbos is not only to have oneg and kavod on Shabbos, but also to ensure that one's house is a peaceful place that in which one can function. And the question here that I'd like to pose at the outset is, when we say Ner Beisa v'Ner Chanukah, Ner Beisa Adif, so is that like a halachic triage question? Right? You have one halacha in one area and another halacha in a different area. They clash and you have to decide what to do. So that's one type of question. Or maybe, and hope maybe we'll get back to this at the end of this year, could we see this question, could we perceive it and characterize it as more of an internal clash? It's not two completely different areas of halacha that are clashing, but maybe there's some internal tension between the mitzvah of Nero Shabbos and Eros Chanukah. Maybe there's an internal reason why Shalom Bayis takes precedence. So I want to just, get our feet wet with that question. And the truth is that Nero Shabbos and Eros Chanukah don't only compete with one another. Many of you saw that in a number of sources, we derive halachos about Nero Shabbos from Nero Chanukah. So first of all, the Yoreim counts both Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah together. Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, who wrote the Sefer Yoreim, so he counts Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah together in source number 2, and it's fascinating because he notes himself that there was no reason to count Ner's Chanukah. Ner Chanukah, afa pishi mitzvah meder abanon, it's only a rabbinic commandment. Umitzvos der abanon she'in the avos, if you have a rabbinic commandment that doesn't have an origin in the Torah, says the Yoreim, lo banu the mitzvah. So then we don't usually count that type of mitzvah. The Sefer Halachos Gedolos, so he counts mitzvos derabanan, but the Yoreim does not usually count mitzvos derabanan in his count of mitzvos. So why was he counting Neros Chanukah to begin with? So he says, Kilala nuha im ner Shabbos agav shitva. Oh, we were already counting ner Shabbos, so we figured, okay, you might as well throw along Neros Chanukah too. V'yani lo'av lo kosavnu perusha. But because it doesn't have, an origin in the Torah, so he didn't take the entire mitzvah to spell out all of the details of Neros Chanukah. So hold on one second. This is miman of shach. Either don't count the mitzvah at all, right? If you're not going to explain the mitzvah, so don't count the mitzvah. Just count Neros Shabbos. There's no reason to count Neros Chanukah for the Yoreim. It's midir abonim. He says he doesn't count mitzvahs dir abonim. And if you're going to count it because you think it's really important, then explain it. So what is this like middle ground that he felt a need to weave into the mitzvah of Neros Shabbos, Neros Chanukah as well? What's going on in the Sefer Yoreim? And in the Rav Yah, in source number 3, Rav Elazar ben Rav Yoel Halevi lived in Germany in the 1100s. So we quoted over the last three shiurim as well that the Rav Yah derives certain halachos about Neros Shabbos from Neros Chanukah. The Rav Yah says that just as a cheresh shotev a katan, someone who is exempt from mitzvos, is not qualified to light the Chanukah candles on behalf of the household, so too when it comes to Neros Shabbos. And says the Rav Yah, just as when it comes to Neros Chanukah, we have a concept of hishtatfos bepruta, that if you're at someone else's house and you're not lighting your own Neros and no one is lighting on your behalf, so then what do? You join together with their lighting. And how do you do that? By becoming part of their household, by taking part in their possessions, contributing some money to their house. Mishtatef bepruta. That's a din, that's a halacha, that's a law in Neros Chanukah. Says the Rav Yah, the same could be used for Neros Shabbos. No one else before the Rav Yah said that. The Ravya apparently assumed that these two areas of halacha are ones in which we can extrapolate from one to the other, or at least from Neros Chanukah to Neros Shabbos. And the truth is that we find another expression of this in the Shulchan Aruch and the Bir Halacha, a fascinating halacha. When it comes to Neros Chanukah, we know that in Ani HaMisparnis Min Atztaka, Shoel Umocher Ksuso V'lokeach Shem and Lahadlik. If you have a poor person, so when it comes to certain mitzvos like Neros Chanukah, they're obligated to sell their possessions in order to acquire the means to have Neros Chanukah. So what should we say about Neros Shabbos? Says the Bir Halacha, quoting the Prima Gadim, that the same would apply to Neros Shabbos, that one is obligated to sell his or her possessions in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Neros Shabbos. And again, that's not stated anywhere in the Gemara. So over and over again, whether it's the Yireim's counting of the two mitzvahs together, the Ravya or the Bir Halacha learning halachos from Neros Chanukah to Neros Shabbos, we see that there's some intimate connection between these two areas of halacha, and that really just provokes the question even more with respect to the first source that we began with, Ner Beso v'Ner Chanukah, Ner Beso Adif. So is this just a triage question, or is there something more to it? Is there an internal reason why Neros Shabbos takes precedence to Neros Chanukah? What's the connection between the two to begin with? The truth is that Neros Chanukah is connected not only to Neros Shabbos, also another mitzvah that Neros Chanukah is connected to, which is Mezuzah, beautiful Shlomo. Got to see Shlomo last night. Oh, it was amazing. Okay, we'll discuss that afterwards. I don't want to put that on the recording. Not because it's bad, it's great. It's just to protect his privacy. Okay, so the Gemara in Shabbos, Chav Beis Amud Aleph, so it says as follows, Amar Rabba, Ner Chanukah, mitzvah lahanicha, betefach hasmucha lapesach. So we're supposed to put the Ner Chanukah at the doorway. Vehicha monachle, which side of the door should you put it on? So Rav Acha, Bereid Rava Omar, Miyamin. Rav Acha, the son of Rava, said you should put it on the right-hand side. But Rav Shmuel Midifti, Omar, Mismol. Rav Shmuel Midifti says that we put it on the left. Vehil Chasa, how do we paskin? Mismol. We put it on the left-hand side. Why? Kedei Shetehei Ner Chanukah Mismol, U'mezuzah Miyamin. So that we have the doorway surrounded by the mitzvos of mezuzah and Ner Chanukah. Mezuzah on the right, Ner Chanukah on the left. If you look at the translated Ma'ar Makomos, they quote from the Gaonim, who explained that the whole reason why we put Ner Chanukah specifically on the left, on the left, is, again, I already alluded to this, is so that we're surrounded by mitzvos. If you look at some of the Rishonim, there's fascinating things about how we should practice Neros Chanukah. Some say to wear a talis while you do Neros Chanukah, tefillin, have all these different, tefillin is at night, so I don't know, maybe, but talis for sure. So but all these different mitzvos that you would be doing while you do Neros Chanukah, and the idea is that we want to try to add mitzvos to this experience. There is a theme in Ner Chanukah of, you know, obviously the whole, you know, decree of Chanukah was to take away our spiritual life, which we'll return to take away our opportunity to do mitzvos. The way that we correct that decree is by doing as many mitzvos as we can. So we get Ner Chanukah, we get mezuzah, we get the talis, we get everything that we can. But if you look in a couple of sources, not mutually exclusive, but there seems to be some more intrinsic connection between Ner Chanukah and mezuzah. Take a look at source number 7 in the non-translated Ma'ar Makomos of the Sefer Hamanig, Rab Avraham ben Rab Nosan. By the way, just as an aside, Okay, so Rab Avraham ben Rab Nosan lived in Provence in the 1100s. It says something very interesting. V'yeiro Eli, says the Sefer Hamanig, De'ein chiyuva b'beis hakneses lahadik ner shal Chanukah. There's no obligation to light Neros Chanukah here in Shul. Kiyim b'bayish adam darba. The only place that it's obligatory to light Neros Chanukah is in your own house. Mida Omar, how do we know that? From the fact that the Gemara says, Kadesh de mezuzah miyamin v'ner Chanukah mismo. That the mezuzah is supposed to be on the right, ner Chanukah on the left. Ubeis haknesses potter mi mezuzah, says the Sefer Hamanik. Ubeis haknesses is exempt from mezuzah, so hold on. So the proof that there's no obligation to light in shul comes from the fact that there's no obligation to have a mezuzah in shul?
Is that true?
Yeah. What? Yeah, but there's no obligation to have a mezuzah on the door that's going into the shul. Technically, no obligation. So just because of that, There's no, that's why we don't light in shul. I would have said because you saw the Gemara. Huh? You don't live there. Yeah, right. So maybe it's saying the same thing. We'll get back to that. By the way, just as an aside, why do we light in shul? So the Sefer HaManik says, this is a subject of debate. Sefer HaManik says that it's zecher lemikdash, and our shul is our mikdash ma'at. So just as we lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, so too we light the menorah in shul, because our shul is a mikdash ma'at. That's interesting. Because the Gemara says that we should have the mezuzah on the right, Ner Chanukah on the left, that's what exempts the shul from Neros Chanukah. If the whole idea was just to be surrounded by mitzvos, so that's very nice, but no one would ever say that when you can't be surrounded by mitzvos, you're exempt from the mitzvah. No one would say that. So what is this Sefer HaManik really have in mind? And what's more so, Rabbeinu Yerucham, who also lived in Provence in the 1200s, in source number 8, so he points out that if you have two options of where to place the menorah, either on the outside of a courtyard facing the public domain, meaning on the border of the courtyard and the public domain, right next to the public domain, or more inward on the entrance into the courtyard that then goes into the houses. So he says you should do it more on the inside. Why? Because you put a mezuzah there. And you don't put a mezuzah right next to the Rishos HaRabim. So again, if this whole idea was just to be surrounded by mitzvos, it's certainly that. But if it was just that, would we say that that would dictate where to exactly put your menorah? Seems like there's something more here underlying the connection between Ner Chanukah and mezuzah. So what I wanted to do is open up tonight by showing that the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah is really intrinsically linked to other mitzvos that we have. Number one, Ner Shabbos, and number two, mezuzah. And the question is, what's the common denominator? What's underlying these connections? So let's take a step back and let's try to analyze the basic elemental requirement of Neros Chanukah. One of the most famous braisos, one of the most famous gemaras when it comes to Chanukah is in Shabbos Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, source number 9. Tzanu Rabbana, mitzvahs Chanukah ner ish ubeisa. The base level to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah is ner ish ubeisa. What does ner ish ubeisa mean? What are you doing? What's it telling us to do? One candle per house. So if you light one candle per house, does it matter which night? No. One candle per house, your yotze. That's the basic level. V'hamahadrin, ner l'chol echad ve'echad. Each person lights a candle. Or at least one person lights a candle on behalf of each person. That's a debate between the Rambam and the Rama. V'hamahadrin ben hamahadrin. V'shamay omrim yorishon madlik shmona mikan v'ilach pochis v'olich. V'shilo omrim yorishon madlik achas mikan v'ilach mose v'olich. So mahadrin ben hamahadrin is what we all do today, which is to light the number of candles corresponding to the night of Chanukah. Beis Hillel says that you go upwards, Malin B'Kodesh V'in Moridin, so you do one on the first night, two on the second night, etc. And if you want to fulfill the Mahadrin as well, so each person in the household does that as well.
What's the Shammai's reasoning for going down? From the Korbanos?
Right. That the Korbanos are Mismat in V'Holchim. And Sukkis, right? So you go from, 13 on the first day? Is 12?
Yeah. 9, 8, 7.
Okay. So here's the question. We know that Hanukkah is a holiday where we take Hiddur Mitzvah very seriously. Right? We already have this Braisa. Where else do we find that we have three different levels of how to do a Mitzvah? Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Minha Mahadrin. Take Hiddur Mitzvah very seriously. And the truth is, Rav Rosenzweig points out, almost everything I say tonight is probably, from Rav Rosenzweig. So when I'm not saying his name explicitly, it's still him. But so Rav Rosenzweig points out that we know the famous question of the Achronim of, there's a concept called Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor, right? That if the majority of the Tzibor is Tameh, so then you don't need to have pure oil in order to do the mitzvah of menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So the question was, why did they even have to search for pure oil? Why did they have to rely on that little tiny amount of oil that they had left? Tumah Hutra Betzibor should dictate that he could even have used impure oil. And there's all different types of answers to this question. But the bottom line seems to be that Hanukkah is a time where my Rebbe calls it a spiritual maximalism. We're not satisfied on Hanukkah with doing the bare minimum. We want to do the maximum. We want to go out of our way to show our dedication to mitzvos. Again, as a corrective for the decree that was against us. You tried to take the mitzvos away from us? We're going to show you that the mitzvos are our lifeline. We're going to show you that our mitzvos are our entire source of being. So we're not going to rely on Tumah Hutra Betzibur when it comes to Hanukkah. We try to do the maximum. That's Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. But at the same time that we concentrate so much on Hidur Mitzvah, it also seems to be that in many places we find that the basic core requirement of Ner Ish Ubeisa, having one candle in each household, it remains relevant even when you're opting to do the maximum. Even as you and I light the number of candles per night, that first candle that we kindle still carries with it very much significance. So let's see how that comes through in the halacha. First of all, let's pay attention to the formulation of the Rambam. Source number 10, the Rambam in Chanukah, Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph. Says the Rambam, Kama Neros Hu Madlik B'Chanukah? How many Neros should you light? Mitzvasa, it's mitzvah. So the Rambam here is coming to define the essential mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. Sheyihyeh Kol Bayis Ubayis Madlik Ner Echad. Notice how the Rambam formulates the obligation. He doesn't say sheyihyeh kol ish v'ish, that every person, every individual should light. He says kol bayis ubayis. And isn't the very phrase of ner ish ubeiso a little bit kind of, it strikes us, no? Ner ish ubeiso? The Gemara could have said much more clearly, one candle, right? Ner ish ubeiso. It's a very strange type of phrase. And the Rambam picks up on it and formulates the mitzvah in terms of the bias. And then in the next line, he says, V'ha-mahader es ha-mitzvah madlik neros k'minin anshe ha-bayis ner lechol echad be'echad. If you want to take that mitzvah, that core obligation, and you want to take it to the next level, then light one candle per person. And if you're going to take this mitzvah and make it into the choicest of mitzvos, so then you'll do it per night. But you see that the emphasis throughout the Rambam is on the core mitzvah of Ner Ish Ubeiso, even when you're opting to do the maximal mitzvah. And the truth is that this comes through not only in the formulations, but also in the halachos. Fascinating, fascinating nafkamina, practical ramifications that highlight this. Take a look at source number 11. One of the most beautiful times of the year. We've lit the neros. We're singing together with our families, Haneros halalu anu madlikin, says the Shulchan Aruch, that we recite this beautiful paragraph to express our praise and thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Quotes the Mishnah Brura from the Maharshal, from Rav Shlomo Luria, source number 12. Achar shehidlik ner harishon, shehu ha'ikar. After you light the first candle, which is the primary candle, omer haneros halalu, v'yigmor ha'hadlakos ba'ot she'omer haneros. If it's the seventh night of Hanukkah, says the Maharshal, you know what you do? You light the first light, and then you start singing. And you sing as you light the rest of the neros. Does anybody do that?
Yeah.
Wow, awesome. Nice. Okay. So the Mishnah Brura then says, So I was always under the impression that was more of the widespread minog, but that's amazing that you have that minog. And it's clear in the Mishnah Brura that this is based on family custom. So the Mishnah Brura says, okay, and if you have the minog to say Aneiros Halalu after you finish all the candles, that's good too. What underlies the Maharshal? That we dafka say Aneiros Halalu after the first candle. But wait a minute. I chose to be Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. I'm doing exactly what Chazal wanted of me on this holiday. I am expressing that I'm not satisfied with the least. but I'm still saying Haneros Halalu before I do the most? What's going on? More so, says the Rambam, source number 13, we don't take the fire from one candle and use it for another fire. We use the shamish in order to light all the candles. The essence of the mitzvah is just to light one candle. And therefore you shouldn't take fire from the first candle and use it for the other candles, because it's almost like you're using the fire in order to light extra candles that you don't really need, says the Rama. Wow. Rabbi Akiva Egern, source number 14, has a fascinating question as well. Let's say it's the eighth night of Hanukkah, and you forgot to make the bracha. You forgot to make Lahadik Ner Shal Hanukkah. But you're still in the midst of lighting. You lit the first candle, the second candle, come up to the third, forgot to make the bracha. What should I do now? Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, you can't make the bracha anymore, because you already fulfilled the Iker HaMitzvah by lighting the first candle. And the Hosafa, that which you add to it, is Rak Michlal Mahadrin. Once again, this same refrain that the first candle ends up being the primary candle, even within the context in which you're doing Mahadrin Minna Mahadrin.
If there are lots of real reasons why we don't light one candle from the other, so presumably, other than the first candle, you should be able to light from the third to the fourth. Meaning, the reason that you're not using the light is because you're doing the time of mitzvah, so by the third candle, you're going to time it, you should be able to light it and blow it out from the third to the fourth. Maybe there are other reasons, but if it's a Ramah, that should be okay.
I hear. Unless you would argue that even if the other candles are not lemitzvah kol kach, they're still part of the hiddur mitzvah, and therefore maybe you wouldn't want to light from one to the other. But I hear, there's definitely that difference. You're right. So why is it that even within Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, so Ner Ishu Beso remains so relevant? So I want to take you to a famous comment of the Pnei Yoshua, Rabbi Yoshua Falk, who lived in Poland in the 1700s. Source number 15. The Pnei Yoshua wonders why it is that the core mitzvah of Neros Chanukah is Ner Ishu Beisa, just to light one candle on behalf of the entire household. He says, where else do we find this? Nir Adimasha Nishtana Mitzvah Zo. Wrong holiday, right? But Ma Nishtana Mitzvah Zo, Mishar Mitzvos, Shehin Chovas Haguf, Shahayachiyo Vakol Yachid V'yachid. Usually when it comes to mitzvahs, each individual is obligated to perform mitzvah for him or herself. And we hold in the Gemara in Kiddushin, mitzvah bo yoser mibishlucho. You shouldn't rely lechatchila on other people to do the mitzvah for you. Do it yourself. So what is this with Neres Chanukah, Ner Ishu Beso, that one person can light a candle and everybody's yotze? Ela deshaini hacha, she'in hacha ikar ha-mitzvah, ela besamach l'rshus harabim, shu mishum persume nisa. The whole idea here is to publicize the nes. Mishum kach hitilu chovas mitzvah zo ki ilu hi chovas habayis. This is an obligation almost for the territory, for the house, for the residents, to be one that is expressing the miracle of the time, to be mefarsim the nes. And says of Shlomo Zalman in source number 16, that even if Chazal established that each person has an individual obligation to light the Neros Chanukah, that's not to the exclusion of this term, Chovas Habayis, that there's an obligation that rests on the house, so to speak, that you have to ensure that there's an expression in the house. The Chovas Hagavar is only that the individual has to see to it that the house has these lights. So if this is really true, that Neros Chanukah, Ner Ish Ubeisa, is a Chovas Habayis, it's an obligation that rests on the residents more than on you doing a specific act. Your act, rather, is creating an environment, and that environment is really the mitzvah. So number one, we can understand why Chazal went out of their way to call it Ner Ish Ubeisa, because they wanted to highlight, as the Rambam says, Sheyei Madli Kol Bayis V'Bayis. This is really about the house having a certain expression. And we can also understand why Ner Ish Ubeso, that one candle, why it carries so much significance even when you do Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. Because if Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is a way for you as an individual to do more in the mitzvah, but that first candle, which is what's Mekayim, which is what is satisfying, the idea of the Chovas Habayis, the idea that this house has a candle that's expressing the theme of the time, that is Ner Ish Ubeso. That's going to remain relevant no matter how you choose to perform the mitzvah. This has, let me get back to in a second, this has very critical halachic ramifications to it. If you take a look at sources number 17 and 18, we find that there are certain unique features of Neros Chanukah that don't apply to other mitzvos. Rav Soloveitchik points out that he found the Sefer Turei Eben, written by the Shagis Aryeh, and it was the one that Rabbi Akiva Eger used himself. This is like an amazing Gadol story. Rabbi Akiva Eger's copy of the Turei Eben. And Rabbi Akiva Eger wrote notes on the side of the Turei Eben. And on his notes on the Turei Eben, he asked a question. And the question was as follows. We know that when it comes to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, so both men and women are obligated in the mitzvah. However, men are obligated directly as a rabbinic obligation, and women are obligated because of Afhin Hayu Ba'oso Hanes, because they were also involved in the miracle. And some of the Rishonim say that as such, a woman would not be able to read the Megillah on behalf of a man, because their obligations are not exactly mirrored. They're not parallel. So asks Rabbi Akiva Eger, if that's the case when it comes to Mikra Megillah, why should it be that one's wife can light Neros Chanukah at home and he can be Yotze? I can be out on a trip, I'm on a plane, my wife is home, she lights Neros Chanukah in my house, I'm Yotze. Wait a minute, she couldn't read Megillah for me, but she can light Neros Chanukah for me. Asks the Turei Eben, what's the difference between Neros Chanukah and Mikra Megillah? And explains of Soloveitchik that he doesn't even understand the question. Why? Why? Because when it comes to Mikra Megillah, that's a Chovas HaGavra. That's an obligation that rests on each individual. Every man has the obligation. Every woman has the obligation. The obligations are not exactly the same. And therefore it comes out with this ramification. But when it comes to Neros Chanukah, the kiyum, the obligation, is to have the light in the house. And therefore, as long as that light is kindled by someone who is part of the mitzvah, who's obligated in the mitzvah, as women are in Neros Chanukah also, because of Afhin Hayu Ba'oso Hanes, so then I can fulfill my mitzvah through my wife's lighting. Because she's not acting as a messenger on my behalf. She's acting as the head of the household, as someone who's kindling a light for that house. Similarly, the Chacham Tzvi, Reb Tzvi Hirsch, Ashkenazi, in the 1600s, in source number 18, says that although a katon shehigia lechinuch, your 11-year-old, who cannot read the Megillah on your behalf, you're not Yotze if you hear your 11-year-old read the Megillah, although it's a beautiful thing for your 11-year-old to know the Megillah, but still, you can't be Yotze. But says the Chacham Tzvi, in his opinion, if he were to light Neros Chanukah for the house, the household would be Yotze, because he's chayiv in the mitzvah as part of chinuch. The Rabbanon involved him in the mitzvah as part of chinuch. Says the Chacham Tzvi, he's Yotze. Why? It's the same exact idea. Because as the Pnei Yeshua pointed out, the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah is a chovas habayis. Josh, you had a question before?
Yeah, let's say like people are apart from each other. Does that mean that the second person who lights in the house can't make a bracha now? Like,
so the assumption is that when multiple people are lighting in the house, so you're doing so with the intent not to be Yotze with the person who lit, you know, before you.
Sure.
Yeah, so you're kind of like, you know, excluding yourself and then, you know, re-inputting yourself.
But if it really is on the chatzel, then like...
So that's why Shlomo Zalman points out, that's why I quoted Shlomo Zalman, because it in nature, in its character, it's on the bias, but in terms of its form, it takes root on every single individual. That's where Shlomo Zalman points out in source number 16. V'hinei afshin ismar le'el, shubitzos nechanaka asa'ua kechovas habayis, mikol makom yashba gam chovas hagav. What I wanted to stress is that despite the fact that Chazal instituted in that way, they didn't strip it from that nature of it being a chovas habayis.
So yeah, Eric. The whole family is traveling on the go and they can't do it.
Okay, next question. So do you have to have a house in order to light Neros Chanukah? So this is kind of Uri's question, and it was also a fascinating shaila that was posed to the poskim about what about when you have soldiers in Tzahal, and they're out in the fields during Chanukah? Do they have an obligation to light? What if they want to light? I'm sure they're gonna. Many of them want to light. Can they light with a bracha?
Isn't that considered their house though?
Sure. Let's say they're out in a field, right? So you're considering that their house because they're sleeping there. I understand, but it doesn't have the structure of a house. So let's see. Let's see some of the Maor Mekomos. This is really interesting. So if you take a look at Tosos in source number 19, we'll probably come back to this next week. We don't have time to read it inside right now. But basically, Tosos says that Chazal instituted this mitzvah only for people who have batim, who are homeowners. Yeah? It's cruel nowadays. But, what? No, because the interest rates, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Renter, yeah, same thing. Okay.
Or just living in someone else's house.
Yes, correct. Right, but you have to be in a house, okay? And so says the Maharsham, Rav Shlomo Mordechai, in source number 21, lived in Poland in the 1800s. So he has a diuk, an inference from Rashi, that if you're on a boat, you would not be obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, because a boat is not considered a house. V'lohaya begeder bayis klal, says the Maharsham. However, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, in source number 20, so he paskined on the issue of whether soldiers should light in the fields. He says that they should. And he says that they can do so with a bracha. And he had a little bit of a different take on the nature of the mitzvah. He says, Kizehu geder ikar hamitzvah pirsuma liros ner chanukah dolekes. The obligation is to light the ner and for you to see it and experience the publicizing of the miracle. But many, many other poskim, I would say most other poskim, reach the conclusion that if they'd like to light, they can, but they shouldn't make a bracha. And if you look at Rav Shlomo Zalman in source number 22, Chayalim hachonim al pnei asadeh, ve'uchlim v'yeshenim tachas kipas hashamayim. So that's where they're living. They're living under the sky. Beinim him b'shetach patuach legamrei. They're in a completely open area. O b'ta'alos psuchos, so they're in furrows. O b'shuchos she'inon mekoros melamala, bunkers that don't have ceilings on top. They're not obligated to do so. You should light, but without a bracha. And if you look at Rav Rimon, has a sefer on the halachos of Neros Chanukah, he reaches the same conclusion for contemporary practice. So what comes out of this discussion is that according to many, many poskim, the only venue in which you would be obligated to light Neros Chanukah is in a house. So if you were on a plane together as a family, you wouldn't have the obligation to light. And what's more, points out the Mishnah Berurah in source number 23, not only can you only do it in a house, but if you did it in a structure, in an abode that wasn't your own, like if you lit in shul, you were the chazan, and you lit in shul, so the post can point out that you're not yotzei in shul. You got to go back home and light for yourself at home. Why? Again, because of this idea that Ner Chanukah is a unique mitzvah in that it's a chovas habayis, it's an expression of the house. And Rav Rosenzweig explained so beautifully that there are so many links between the whole idea of Neros Chanukah and the idea of the family unit and the home. Number one, so he pointed out that family, the whole idea of family, doesn't cohere very well with Greek ideology. Greek ideology emphasizes the individual with no limitation. And in Yahadus, we emphasize the individual, but only in so much as he recognizes his place within the family. And the family only in so much as it recognizes its place within the tzibur. There's concentric circles. We don't live personal lives and that's it. We're part of a larger, larger group. Number two, of course, Chanukah was a time of cultural war where we were trying to fight for our beliefs and our halachic system. And in order to do so, you have to have a strong foundation at home. You have to have conviction that provides you with that strength to fight that war. And number three, and most importantly, the whole idea of a family, of a bias, is the smallest unit of halachic life. That's what we pray for whenever anyone gets married, that they should build a bayis ne'emon b'Yisrael. The bayis is the miniature mikdash. It's the mikdash ma'at for every family, where you escort the Shechina. And for us, especially since Chanukah was the time, not like Purim, where the Gzeira, where the Achronim point out, the Bach and the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, the Gzeira of Purim was on each individual physically. No matter what, you could have been someone who was not interested in religion at all. But if you were Jewish, Achashverosh and Haman said that you were going to get killed. That's not the case with Chanukah. When it came to Chanukah, if you were willing to relinquish your religious beliefs, you would have been saved. The whole idea was a spiritual war. It was a war on our right to practice religion. And in that case, from that perspective, the house takes on so much more significance as the bottom line, the core part of our ability to function and to thrive and flourish in the halachic system. So if this is the case, we can understand not only why Mitzvah Ner Chanukah was characterized as a Chovas Habayis, but we can go back to the beginning. Why is Ner Chanukah so linked to the obligation of mezuzah? So much so that according to some Rishonim, you have to have the ability to put up a mezuzah on the right in order to have Ner Chanukah on the left. Because mezuzah is the greatest expression of a Jewish home. A Jewish home is identified by the mezuzah. When you walk in, that you know that this is a makom shechina. This is a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests. So when you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, do so specifically opposite the mezuzah, to express that the whole nature of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah as well is to say that this house stands for Avodas Hashem. And what's more, connecting back to our previous shiurim, Ner Chanukah v'nerbeso, nerbeso adif mishum shalom bayis. Perhaps we can explain that Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos, as some of the Rishonim point out, really share this common denominator. Ner Shabbos is to Ner Chanukah because Ner Shabbos is the cyclic expression, the consistent expression that this home is a linchpin in the Avodas Hashem of the family. We know that Ner Shabbos, we spoke about last week about the Knas, right? That women took upon themselves that if they missed Ner Shabbos one week, they'd have to add another one. Why does it carry so much weight and gravity? Because Sarah Imenu and Rivka Imenu had Ner Shabbos from week to week as a way of expressing the uniqueness of this home. The fact that Shabbos is different, the fact that this is a place of godliness. Ner Shabbos, Mishum Shalom Beso, from week to week, is exactly the expression of Neros Chanukah. If it weren't for Neros Shabbos, perhaps we couldn't have Neros Chanukah. But once we have Neros Shabbos, and that's why Ner Beso Adif, but once we do have Neros Shabbos, so then Neros Chanukah takes on a whole different meaning. Then it's a spiritual reinvigoration, so to speak. It's a rejuvenation of that idea, taking it to the next level. Of even when we're pressed, even when we are oppressed, even when that opportunity is taken away from us, and it's not easy, it's not the week-to-week type of life, we're still going to do this mitzvah. That's Neros Chanukah, being able to express our ultimate commitment, even when it's in the face of challenge. And that way, Neros Shabbos and Neros Chanukah really do belong together. So much so that we can extrapolate halachos from Neros Chanukah to Neros Shabbos, and that Ner Shabbos is going to take precedence, and again, because without the Ner Shabbos, perhaps we couldn't even have the Ner Chanukah. So over the next 2 weeks, we'll discuss more about this idea of Ner Chanukah, but tonight is really the core idea of Ner Ishu Beso, the core implementation of Ner Chanukah to understand what it's all about. Wish everybody good night.